Here, let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, if you will. Ephesians chapter 1, we're working our way through the book of Ephesians. Just got started this a few weeks ago, and we're not real far away. Anybody get a worksheet this evening? Anybody need a worksheet? Just slip your hand. We've got several down front here, Mr. John. We're going to need more than one anyway. It's all right. All right, one over there. A couple more here. Slip your hand, John, down front here, John. I'm sorry. There's several down here. All righty. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1. Just keep your hand up till they get to you. I'll bring some back to the choir next time. I should do that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1. All right. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I know this is the greeting, the beginning of the letter, but there is this thing is chucked full if you think about what Paul was thinking when he wrote this, and it's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. Tonight let's have a word of prayer. We're talking about this topic in Christ. Boy, that's just a little phrase, but when you think about being in Christ, there's a lot of amazing things that go along with the being in Christ. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you that we're in Christ. I thank you that when we know Christ as our Savior, we understand that we're sinners and understand because the penalty, the wages of our sin is death, and yet we understand that Jesus Christ died and paid for all our sin. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all, and if we will call upon the name of the Lord, He will save us because He's already paid the price. He'll give us that gift of salvation. Thank you for that, that when we become in Christ, and Lord, I know when most of us, when we were saved, we were born again, there's a lot of things we didn't know. All we knew was we weren't going to hell anymore, we were going to heaven. But the fact is, there's so many things that we got when we became in Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us here this evening. Thank you for the mercy you have in Christ and the forgiveness and the salvation and the redemption and the power and the victory that we can have in Christ. So Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us here again this evening. Again, we ask for your Holy Spirit to move, and we give the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We'll get to the first one you need. As kind of an outline there, I filled those in, and because those were from last week, it didn't want to take a lot of time, but if you didn't get those last week, there they are. Now, the epistle to the Ephesians is inspired by God and penned by Paul while he was in the prison of Rome. Paul's teaching us in this book, he's teaching us about the church. The church is the called out assembly. The called out assembly. And it's also teaching how the church is to be the body of Christ. The hands, the voice, the mouth, the feet, to carry the gospel. We are the body of Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt by Him. Just as the tabernacle in the wilderness, the Shekinah glory of God came down and dwelt between at the mercy seat between the cherubim, and He did the same thing at Solomon's temple. The fact is, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You're not your own. You belong to somebody, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Let people see God for who He is by what we do with this body. That's what He's asking us to do. Romans 8:9 says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You hear that, but not only are you in Christ, but Christ is in you. We are to abide in the vine should abide in us. Now, if we all have the same Spirit of Christ as a church, we all have the same Spirit of Christ in us, we are all part of the same body. We may have come from many parts of the world, and yet we are one in Christ. Paul says, Ephesians 4:1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation, the job wherewith ye've been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in y'all. And that's, we're all part of Him. We're all one body. It's a wonderful thing. Now, if we are all part of the same body, we all have access to the same abilities and privileges of that same body. In other words, there's some things that God offers to us because we're part of the body of Christ. Now, we have different talents, if you will, but there are things that are in our lives that God says, I want you to have, and we're all part of the same body. We all have the same Spirit flowing through us, if you will. So we are to be. We are all part of the same body. We all have access to the same things. And so we want to talk about what we have in Christ. Now, real quick from last week, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. If you weren't here, we talked about kind of a brief background in Ephesians. The first three chapters, number one, the outline, the first three chapters of Ephesians 1 through 3 are the who we are in Christ. And that's what we're talking about first. Who we are in Christ. It's the doctrine. It says we have a heavenly calling. We have the privilege to be the called out assembly. We are God's people. Holy Spirit lives in us. Listen, He lives in us. He lives in these kids' hearts if they're saved. Now, he's not going to do the same thing with them that He does with us because they still got some learning to do. But by the way, you still got some learning to do. We all got some learning to do. But God will use us as we yield ourselves. Remember, the victory is in the surrender. We're bought with the price. We're not our own. We should give ourselves to Him and let Him use us. Now, letter B, Ephesians 4 through 6, the second half of the book, is what we are in Christ. What we need to be in Christ, the practical. What God has called us to do, to literally what to do and what to be. He's going to be telling us what the fact that we're part in Christ, but they said, no, now that you're Christ, what can you do for Christ? What can you do in your life? What can God do in your life? So Ephesians is written, watch us, to help us balance the philosophy of the church. Balance the philosophy to many people to attempt to live a Christian life in one or the other sections of Ephesians is crazy. We get ourselves, some are all doctrine, some are all practical. The fact is, you need to know what you're talking about, but then you need to do it. If all you do is talk about it, you never do it, that's not good. If you go out and do a bunch of stuff, you don't know what you're talking about, then you're in trouble too. We should know. Balance is so important. Know the Word of God. Know the Word. Number two. We learned that God wants us last week. God wants us. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are of Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. The word apostle means the sent out one. God took Paul, and He sent him out to give the gospel, to be the apostle to the Gentiles, to give us what we need. And if he hadn't gone to be the apostle of the Gentiles, most of us would have never heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He sent them out. This was the will of God. He was determined, if you will. He was determined. Let it be there. God wanted Paul to come and get us. This was the will of God. This was His determination. He says, I need you. Remember, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God knew who we were before we were ever anything, before our substance, substance was even here. He knew the molecules that was going to make the veggies that your mother was going to eat while she was carrying you. I mean, He knows it. He knows exactly what you were going to be. He knows exactly what you are. He's got a plan for your life. You all are part of the plan. God knows that, and it was His determination. He came to get us, and He came to all those that are truly saved. It says the saints, the ones who have gotten this figured out. That means the pure ones, the blameless in the eyes of God. Not that we're blameless, not that we're perfect, but we're imputed with His righteousness. And the faithful, those that are convinced. That's us. We've been convinced. We're sure. We're true about the salvation of life in Jesus Christ. And He talks about us being in Christ Jesus. He says there, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. The faithful in Christ Jesus. That word in means a fixed position. Some of you are in a pew. You're in a fixed position. And you're thinking you don't want to be fixed here any longer than necessary. I understand. But you're in a fixed position. Well, we're in Christ. I'm in a marriage. That's a fixed position. But that word fixed, that word in, has the idea of fixed in a position of rest. In other words, not motion, rest. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. Now, you may not be taking advantage of what you have in Christ, but you're in Christ. It's done. It's settled. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're saved. You cannot lose it because He paid for all of it. Listen. Suppose I was, and I don't, but suppose I was going to go out and get something to drink on Valentine's Day, and I said, just in case I do something stupid here, Brian, you hang on to my keys, so if I get drunk, you won't let me have those. You won't let me have those, nope. All right? Now, I go out and I get drunk, and all of a sudden, you know, I think I can handle this thing here. Give me the keys, I'm going to drive home. Now, but give me keys when you drive home. Now, I've got to drive home. Now, I'm okay. Honest, I'm good. I can drive home. I'm good. Honest, I can. That's exactly what happens when we get saved. Now, watch me. We were in our right mind. It's kind of like the prodigal son when it says he came to himself. Oh, duh. I could be home. I could be dad's servant and be doing better than I am here. I messed up. I came to myself, and there's a moment in time when I realized I was wrong, and I needed to take my life, and I'm going to put my eternity and all that I am in the hands of Jesus Christ. Gave Him the keys to my life. Now, when I come back and do something stupid, and we all will, my Savior loves me more even than Brother Brian does. He's not going to, you want your keys back here. You know what he's going to say? He's not in his right mind. And by the way, the fact that he saved me, he already paid for all my sins on the cross. Amen. He paid for all of them all the way until the day I see him face to face. I give him my keys back. I'll take them now. Because I'll forget. I'll get to talking. I'll have to call you up. You'll have to come up later and get me.
That's not happening.
I shouldn't have picked Brian. I should learn by now not to pick him. Now, we're fixed. When I was in my right mind, I gave my life to Christ. I gave Him my eternity. And I can rest in that because I know He's smart enough not to set me free just because I said, well, I don't want to do that anymore. Let me give you number one. First blank. God wants us to be blessed. You're in Christ. God wants you to be blessed. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, God determined, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful of Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you. Letter A. This is kind of where we ended up last week. That grace is a gratifying graciousness, if you will, from the divine influence of God upon our heart. And thus the reflection of that grace in our lives, including God's working on our lives and our gratitude for that work in our lives. You see, that's confusing. God expresses His grace to us. But then He does a work in our life, and that grace now is going to reflect to others. That grace to you, He says, it's not just the fact that we get something out of it, but then God can use us to give something out of it, to be a blessing, to help, to show the work of God. Listen, God's grace is working in our lives, and it's going to express itself in gratitude. And if you're not grateful to God for His working in your life, that I don't think the grace of God is working in your life yet. You haven't seen it. I mean, when you realize the grace of God is really working, in fact, that's part of it. In fact, remember we talked about Ephesians 5:17 through 21 last week. It says, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, if His grace is really working in your life, He says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, rejoicing. And then it says, giving thanks. And then he says, submitting yourselves one to another. And we learned last week that if God is working in your life, that you're in Christ, but if you're allowing Him to give that grace working in your life, you're going to have a spirit of rejoicing, a spirit of gratitude, and a spirit of humility. And when one has been truly given grace by God, I think you have this one now, that person has grace to bestow. Number one, given grace by God, that person has grace to bestow to others. He gave you grace. You've got grace in which to exercise toward others, to present to others. Well, let's say this. When you realize the amazing grace that it took to pay for your soul, we kind of get off our high horse and just start being grateful, rejoicing. And, you know, listen, I don't have any business going to heaven or anything like else. All of a sudden, we stop trying to push folks around. We start saying, well, can I help you out? Grace starts showing up in your life. Letter B, there's grace to you. Letter B, there's peace. He said, grace and peace. God wants this to be in your life. There's way too many people that get saved and they never really have that peace. We talked about it a little bit this morning. Number one, that's a quietness. It's a quietness, a rest in one's life in spite of what life brings. It's a rest and a quietness in your life in spite of what life brings. Well, how does so-and-so handle this? By the grace of God. Well, I know. And they think that, well, somehow something's going around. People think, well, it's all the problems are going to stop, then I'll have the peace. Not necessarily. But God give you peace in the midst of a storm-tossed life. There's an anchor, there's a hope. I place my faith upon. There's a peace. There's a grace. There's a peace. We're in Christ. We realize what we have in Christ. We ought to realize that God's still in control. The victory is not in the fight of the situation. It's in the surrender to the Savior. There's a peace. Number two, it means to be set at one again. Rather than someone who's flying apart and going to pieces. You ever been there? Just some day just razzled. My soul, everything just flying apart. He says, I can give you a peace and put everything back in one. Make it one again. Well, how can it be one? Well, God hasn't gone anywhere. How big's your God? Big enough to create the universe and small enough to live within our heart, the song said in the choir tonight. Well, you like me, you feel irresponsible. Just turn it over to God. Now, when you turn it over to God, make Him boss. The boss may tell you to do a few things. And we need to do that. Do what we're supposed to do. But leave it in His hands. It's not ours to deal with. John 14, I read it this morning. Peace I leave with you. My peace. Not the peace of the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Well, you don't know this. God's bigger than that. Daniel, if you know the story, young man, probably a teenager, taken from his family, taken to Babylon up for the captivity. Who did he have? Probably, it's a good chance he never saw his parents again. It's a good chance he never saw any of his family again. It's a good chance they all died. But he happened to be a good-looking young guy, seemed pretty smart, and it took him in, and we're going to make him one of ours. Living all by himself, sometimes having to take a stand when nobody else would take a stand. But he determined in his heart not to defile himself. I'm going to make some decisions. You know what he did? He said, you know what? I have God, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes you say, that's real easy. No, it's not easy. It wasn't easy for him. It's just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got ready to go to the fire furnace, and he says, all right, I want you to recant everything you believe. I want you to bow down to the idol here, and if you don't, I'm gonna throw you in the fiery furnace as well. I don't know if God's going to deliver us or not, but we're not bowing. We know that our God can. We're not sure he will, but either way, we're not bowing. You know the old saying, wouldn't bend, wouldn't bow, wouldn't burn. Sometimes it's hard. But he says, I can give you a peace. In fact, it says, if I remember right, it says, we're not careful in making this decision. And what he means by that is, we're not worrying about this, we're just putting it in his hands. Here it is. We're not going to think twice. I'm not going to think twice. This is what God wants me to do. He doesn't want me to do that, so I don't have any choice. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what God told me to do. Our world is so used to doing what God tells them to do as long as it's convenient, as long as they were going to do it anyway, and all those kind of things. And then when things get tough, they do their own thing, and then they wonder why life is a mess. Why isn't this thing working? Well, it's like we were talking about this morning. We walk with him for a while, and then we don't walk with him for a while. We walk when he walks where we like him to walk, and when we don't like where he's walking, we don't walk there. Then we're not walking with him. We're hoping he's going to walk with us a little bit. We're supposed to seek him with all our heart. Letter C, spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. This is coming out of verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Spiritual blessings. Spiritual means non-carnal, not part of the flesh. Having to do with the regenerated supernatural, the supernatural. Spiritual blessings. Number one underneath letter C there. Spiritual, non-carnal. C-A-R-N-A. You know, when I was a kid, we used to have, we'd have lunch at school and they called it chili con carne. Okay. That's the kind of Spanish for with meat. Chili with meat. Con carne, with meat. Carnal means the flesh. He says, listen, I've got some blessings for you. And so, you know what we do? We think, well, we're going to get our pockets full. I'm going to get a belly full. No, he says, no. He says, I'm going to give you a heart full. Now, in the meantime, you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those other things will be added to you. He knows you have need of those things. Take no thought for those, for he knows that you have need of those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're supposed to be seeking him first. Now, he says, I'm going to give you spiritual blessings. That word blessings there, in fact, it says he's blessed. Blessed be the God who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That number two there, blessings means fine speaking. Fine speaking. Let's say it this way. God is, and our Lord Jesus is up in heaven, calling for some good things of the spiritual nature for us. He's blessing us, some fine speaking. He says, I've got some good things for you. I've got some good things for you. God wants to bless you. Now, sometimes we determine what the blessing is supposed to be. But sometimes he knows it'd be better not to get that, it'd be better to get this over here. I've said it so many times, the prosperity of the fool shall destroy him, Proverbs tells us. Sometimes the worst thing we can do, And I know, folks, you got to be careful about this. You want to help somebody, but sometimes God puts somebody flat on their back so they have no place to look but up. Now, what we need to do is make sure that you're helping them to look up. But what some people do is we just get them off their feet and get them rolling again. Well, there you go. Go ahead. Go live life. I fixed this problem. Go live life. Might be the worst thing we ever did. Well, their problem is they don't have any money. Now, their problem is they're walking away from the Lord. They've been trying to live all by themselves a lot of times. And so we give them a little bit of money, put some money in their pocket, and what happens is they go down the corner and buy some more drugs. They go down the bar, and they're going to bury their problems, so they say, in the bottom of the bottle. But if it's all said and done, they didn't bury their problems at the bottom of the bottle. They found more problems at the bottom of the bottle. Sometimes it doesn't pay to fix their problems, but to help them fix their eyes on Him. You're in this issue, let's see God get you out of there. You see, if I get them out, they're going to start trusting me. And then when I can't be there for them, they're going to get mad at me. You get them out, they're going to be trusting you. And then when you can't be there, when they want you, all of a sudden you're the bad guy. No, I need to get them trusting Him. Well, they won't do it. Well, listen, that's the answer. If they won't do it, it's their problem. It's a terrible thing to say. Not everybody is going to seek the Lord. But me trying to fix this thing in my own flesh is not going to do it. What we need, he's going to bless us with all spiritual blessings. Number three, God wants us to grow in Him. Let me read a couple things here. Ephesians 4:11, I read that to you. But it says, Ephesians 4:11, he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Lord God unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Number one, he wants us to mature. To mature. You're in Christ. Number three, see where I am there? The whole list of them there. To mature, Ephesians 4:11. He says, I've given you people to listen to the word of God. It's not that you're supposed to follow me. I'm not God. I'm just simply pointing to God. I'm not the one. I'm not truth. I'm just trying to give you truth. But the point, if I do my job right and you do your job right, you'll be able to find truth in here by yourself. Now, it doesn't mean that I can't help and I can't encourage you and I can't give you some booster shots and I can't teach you something. Listen, I can. And I've had people do that in my life. But the fact is, you need to live life on your faith, not on my faith. Well, I don't believe it's like that guy we read about in Matthew said they started casting out demons. Cast them out by the one that Paul preaches. There's not secondhand faith. What happens? Listen, that's why when somebody, they go to have a big church and they're all going around a personality, and then something happens to their personality and all the sheep scatter. Wait a minute. It's the old saying, preacher needs to be hidden behind the cross. You're hearing the word of God, but you're not seeing preacher, you're seeing Christ. That's who you want. That's who you need to trust on. That's who you listen, you can go home and get on your knees and talk to the Savior like anybody else. Me? Yeah, little old you. Spiritual, he says, I want you to mature. Number two, he says, I want you to walk in unity. Already read that. He says, I want you to walk in unity. Unity. We can do that. Number three, we will be forgiving. 4:32, he says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He says, I want to bless you with all spiritual blessings. He says, I can do something inside of you that only God can do. This is a spiritual thing. It's not about changing your attitude. It's not about changing your mind. It's about changing your heart. Now, you may need to change your mind about wanting to get your heart changed. That's your determination. But God changes the heart. He can put a forgiveness in your heart that you never thought was possible. Listen, there are probably people in this room who have bitterness against somebody, and you'd love to get it fixed, but you just don't have it in you. Every time you think, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. They'll think they got away with it. Well, we got away with ours. He died on the cross for it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave us. He forgave us by absorbing the loss. God can put forgiveness in us. Number four, he says, to be followers of God as dear children. Chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in, number 5, walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And number 6, to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. We've already talked about, be not drunk with wine for his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Mature, unity, forgiving, followers of God, walking in love, filled with the Spirit. He says, I want to bless them with all spiritual blessings. Watch. Go back to our part there in Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This comes from our Father. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. This is James 1:17, 18, 19. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We're just doers of the word, and if we're just hearers of the word and not doers, he says we're deceiving ourselves. We think we're walking with God. He says we're not. He wants to bless us with all spiritual blessings. Non-carnal, a spiritual thing. Number two, God wants us to have, the word's missing there, I'm sorry. God wants us to have blessings, word have is it missing there, blessings from heaven that are otherwise, here's the word, beyond our reach. There's some things that you've wanted in your life that's beyond your reach. He says he's going to bless us with all spiritual blessings from heavenly places. Heavenly. That word heavenly, number one there, means above the sky. It means beyond. Beyond our reach. Beyond our understanding. Heavenly places. It just simply means above the sky, beyond where we can reach. God's got something greater that's far above our heads. It's beyond our reach. We cannot do it ourselves. These are spiritual blessings. These are things that come from God. It says spiritual place, it says spiritual blessings, and the word says in heavenly places in Christ. Now that word place, if you look in the Bible, is in italics. All right, so they've added that word to help you understand the meaning of the phrase, to kind of complete the grammar and so forth. And let me try to kind of explain what that means. In heavenly places, in heavenly, to be honest with you, go look it up, it means heavenly things. Spiritual blessings in heavenly things. In things that are above who you are, above our reach. He says, I got blessings in things that you can't even imagine. He says, you've lived your life this way all your life. You don't think that life could ever change. This is where I'm stuck. This is where I am in life. This is just what life is, and I'll never have the victory that God wants. No, he says, I want to bless you with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He says, there are spiritual blessings up in heavenly places, if you will. And he says, and I've got some things and places I want you to be. Number two, places, things, the word you're looking for, in position for. In position for. And I'll explain this as we go along here. The blessings he's speaking of are not earthly blessings, but the kind of blessings that come from a source that's far about far beyond this earthly realm, far beyond our understanding. Colossians 3:1 says this: If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, God takes us places in our spiritual walk and our life that only God can take us. You've got to remember that. Sometimes we say, well, I got saved, so now I got to live like this. And boy, I tell you what, it's hard. I've heard people say, well, I'd love to get saved, but I'm not going to get saved because I can't live it. Well, you can't. But you can in Christ. But how much are we willing to walk in Christ? How much are we willing to walk with Him? Listen, we're so busy. We're putting on a show. We're coming in. We're looking right, this and that and other thing. But He says, listen, I've got something that's supernatural. We have forgotten this is a supernatural concept here. This is God. I'm not talking about doing a lot of crazy things and rolling on the floor and drooling from the mouth and barking like a dog and having a laughing fit you can't stop. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that still small voice that comes in and regenerates and makes us who we are on the inside, changes us, regenes us. We might be pigs, but He'll make us into sheep. God takes us places that no one else could take us. What place are you in life right now? Where are you right now in life? He says, I want to take you to heavenly places. Letter B, the word in Christ. I talked about that. In Christ, letter B, means in a position of rest. Watch. Quality of Christ. The tool, if you will. Through the working of Christ. The instrumentality of Christ. Through the instrumentality of Christ, we are put into some great heavenly positions. Let me explain what I'm talking about. For instance, through the instrumentality of education, I have opened up to myself certain positions, places that I can go that I wouldn't otherwise be able to go. The instrumentality of education, we can put ourselves in position on earth and in society to see good things happen. You could say, well, he's in a good place in life. See how they're using the word place there? He's in a good place to see good things happen. And God says, listen, he says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There's a position. You've got good things. Now, I gave you these because I want you to simply listen. I'm almost done. But I'm going to walk through these scriptures with you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on any of them. Being in Christ puts us in a good place, or you could say a good position, to see the blessings that can only come from above and are otherwise out of our reach. Now, you can put that aside. If you want to look at them, that's fine. But let me show you. I'm not going to make you write them in there, put them in there for you, because I want you to listen to me. Romans 3:24 says this: being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When my position is that I'm in Christ, redemption is mine. Redeemed. Bought with a price, off the auction block, never to be put on again. You only get that in Christ. You're not going to get that from the world. When God pays for your sin, you're off the block. You can't go back on. He paid for it. In fact, He paid for our salvation. He sets us free, and it says, now, I'd like you to serve me. But it's your choice. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed. Number two, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And he says, we walk not after the flesh if you're saved. He says, there's no condemnation. Now, one of these days we will stand before Christ. And he's going to look at you. And all he's going to see is the blood of Jesus. At the bottom of the list of our sins, it's going to say paid in full. Now, you don't get that anywhere else. You're going to get that in Christ. Romans 8:2 goes on and says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Now, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, he came to fulfill the law. But the fact is, if we start marking iniquity, who shall stand? None of us. So when he looks at us, when we've received Christ as our Savior, he doesn't look at us comparing it through the law. He looks at us through the blood of Christ that came by the grace of God. That just doesn't seem right. It's because you're looking through it through the flesh. We're talking about things in heavenly places. You don't get this. You don't get this down here.
You know what we get down here? Well, I saw what they did.
God says, I saw what they did and I paid for it. Number four, Romans 8:39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you're in Christ, you get the love of God. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. Listen. I'm sorry. I'm going to say something here. Do you realize God loves both parties on both sides of every conflict? God doesn't take sides. His side is truth. It's kind of like Joshua, we get ready to bring down the walls of Jericho, and he sees the captain of the Lord's host there, and he says, okay, well, whose side are you on? And the captain of the Lord's host, which I believe again was the pre-incarnate Christ, says, I'm not on your side or their side. I'm on the Lord's side. You know, I come here in the name of the Lord. It's not my job to make that judgment. We're supposed to leave it to him who judges righteously. God loves, you say, well, listen, how can churches split and buck like this? Well, I'm standing on the truth. Well, I'm standing on the truth. Well, I'm standing on the truth. Neither one of them are standing on the truth. We're the right ones. We're the good church. We're this. Oh, my soul. God loves both of you. He said, well, you see, listen, you get stuff like, well, we're upset with them, and so we don't like them, so you're not allowed to like them either. Wait a minute. God loves both parties on both sides of every conflict. You watch this. He loves, you ready? Pull your seatbelt. He loves the terrorists of ISIS. He loves the Jews. But he loves the terrorists of ISIS. Now wait a minute. When we live in Christ, we can experience that love of God that only Christ can get. It's in Christ. We've got to move on. Romans 12, 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. Unity. One body. Everyone members one of another. I'll tell you what, God can take people from all over the world, put them all together, and he can make one body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctification. Called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Listen, God saved you, he's not done with you. Now we're sanctified, we have positional sanctification in that he says, okay, you're one of the bunches that's saved and going to heaven because you've received Christ as your Savior. So we're sanctified, we're set apart when we receive Christ as our Savior by our choice. But the fact is there's also progressive sanctification. He says, I can take your life that's been a mess and I can make it into something new. And you can sing, joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Whenever we get to that part of the song, I always just want to sigh. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. What a peace you have that in Christ. Let me give you another one. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You have eternal life. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I got to be done here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, watch this, I love this one. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He get a new life in Christ. Now, we don't have to go back and live that same old life. We don't have to go back and live like it did. We don't have to go back and try to deal with it like we did. We're a new creation. Old things are passed away. His mercies are new every morning. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, watch, reconciling the world unto himself. Reconciliation. Shook hands on it. Our propitiation, made amends with it, reconciled us to God. Galatians 2, 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now that's kind of a negative way of looking at it, but let me say we have liberty in Christ. That's what it says. If people give you a hard time because, you know, you got liberty in Christ. Part of that is, I get to eat bacon. No, listen, we have liberty in Christ. In that, listen, we're not under that bondage of that law anymore. We have liberty. Now, it doesn't want us to throw the law out. The law's good. But if we had to live by the law to get to heaven, we're in big trouble. We have liberty in Christ. Watch this one. Adoption. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You've put your faith in him. We become his child. We'll talk about adoption a little bit more in the next couple weeks here. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Now in Christ Jesus. You used to say, well, I can't go to God. I can't go to God. I have no right to pray to him. He says, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Ephesians 3:6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. We're fellow heirs. We got inheritance that nobody can ever imagine. 2 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life,
which is in Christ Jesus. Promise. God has promised us life, the God who does not lie. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Lastly, 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ. There's a grace that you need, and it's available in Christ. God wants us. He has a plan. It was always his plan to have us. And God sent Paul to go get us. And God wants to bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, beyond things that are beyond our reach, beyond our realm, beyond our power to get. And when we are in Christ, we have all the spiritual blessings of heaven offered to us. Let's understand who we are in Christ and make the greatest use of it if we can. As much use of it as we can. You're in Christ. Rest in that. Rest in that. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for speaking to us here this evening. And Lord, I pray as you'll speak to hearts here. Our heads are bowed.